Very thankful this morning for the opportunity to be with you and be engaged in the service of God once again. I certainly have enjoyed the meeting. I appreciate the kind hospitality of this church, Brother Chris and Sister Lydia and their family in their home. I must admit that the overwhelming presence of Texans in their home this weekend has been a real thorn in my flesh, but Brother Ronald came in yesterday morning and asked me if they kept me up till midnight. Yes, they did. Again last night, Brother Ronald. So, Brother Ronald and I have recently spent some time in a home where we were invited because our host and hostess wanted older brethren who didn't want to stay up too late. Made it very clear that's the reason they asked us to go home with them, and we appreciated their kind invitation greatly. But we do value the hospitality of God's children. Where we go, I would echo and amen what Brother Ronald said in regard to that. And I will assure you, if you could come see us in the hills of Western Arkansas, our people love to have company in their homes. Maybe not all of them, but enough of them that we'll have a place for you all to stay. Well, you'll test us a bit if you all come at once. But you just come on. We'll make a way somehow. We would love to have you visit with us there in our area. We're considerably this side of Texas. Brother David has told you that he thinks San Antonio's as close to heaven as you can get. He knows better. And he's bragged considerably on Sister Leslie. He got her right out of our home community. So we miss her and resent his taking of her from us. But I need to get busy. On the first discourse of this meeting, Brother Parker began in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, I think. No, a little earlier than that. Verse 10. I want to go back there. I'm not very adept at starting something new when somebody has preached before me. I usually have to springboard from what they've said. And he's preaching, bless my heart, and all the preaching has. I've enjoyed every discourse. Love the points that have made. I'm not a note taker, particularly usually at meetings, but I'm taking home more notes than I've taken home from a meeting in a long time. And I hope I can read them when I get home and review them. But I want to begin in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, and move forward. The question I hope to deal with this morning is this. Will all those for whom Jesus died be with him in heaven when time is ended? Now that's the question I want to answer and look at. And I know that's a controversial subject and idea question in religious circles. Debates have been held with regard to that particular question. But I just want to see what the Bible says about it. So we'll try to look at that a little bit. If you'll pray that the Lord would deliver me to be able to speak with some degree of intelligence. Much more, this verse 9 of Romans 9, much more of Romans 5, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Brother Parker dealt with that. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, there's something about the life of Jesus that causes those who are reconciled to God to be saved. Something about his life. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Now, our friends and neighbors use the word saved ordinarily in a fairly limited way. When they ask you, are you saved? You understand that they're asking, have you made your arrangements to live with God in glory when time shall be no more? All right. Well, the word saved here means exactly what they think it does. All right. It means that provision is made for us to live with God in heaven when time shall be no more. I recognize that by the life, by the work, by the intercession, by the leadership of God, you and I are saved from many pitfalls and many snares on a daily basis. But just here, I understand the apostle to be answering that great question, dealing with that important matter of whether or not we shall live in heaven when time is ended. And he says that we who are reconciled, inasmuch as we are reconciled, shall be saved by his life. That is, we are going to be given life by him who is alive.
Amen.
All right. Now, the question arises, if some for whom Jesus died are not saved eternally, there are only two ways that can be explained. It is either because God will not, or because God cannot. All right, it's one of those ways. If someone for whom Jesus died perishes and goes to hell, it is either because God would not save him, or because God could not save him. All right, let's deal with the matter, the issue of God's ability to save him, first of all. All right, what about God's power? Does God, does Jesus have power to save those for whom he died? Someone is quoted during this meeting from John chapter 17, where it says that God has given him power over all flesh. I want you to understand this morning that God's Son is he who upholds all things by the word of his power. It is God who spoke us, the world, into existence. It is God who created the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and us. Let us not forget that God made us, that we are the workmanship of his hands. And God set man in a position of dominion over the things of this earth, but God never set man in dominion over God. God has given man control of much that occurs in this world, but man has never, by God, been given authority to dictate to God God's actions. Not only has man not given to God, to his children, to men, to those that he has created, the ability to dictate the action of God, but God has never created a being that has power, that is able to stop God from doing that which God intends to do. The question is asked in the Bible, who can stay his hand? Now, I challenge you this morning to produce an athlete in this world who is able to prevent God's arm from doing that which God intends to do. God has said, I looked and there was none to help, therefore mine own arm brought salvation. Would you like to arm wrestle with God this morning? How about it? Who is the person who would step forth and arm wrestle with God? We marvel that David was willing to fight Goliath. I marvel every time I think about it. Why in the world did Saul let David go? Have you ever thought about that question? It looks like Saul must have taken leave of his mind to let a stripling of a boy go out to fight Goliath when the future of the nation of Israel rested on that one battle. I cannot imagine why Saul let him go. But David went forth in the spring strength of God and prevailed over Goliath, but no story is ever recorded where a man prevailed against God.
Amen.
Goliath does not compare to God. God has said, my ways are not as your ways, my thoughts are not as your thoughts, for as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Who can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? When a man one time in the Old Testament desperately needed the sun to stand still, he could not command it to stand still. He begged God that it stand still, and it stood still. All right. Can a man control God? I hear brethren pray sometimes when it sounds like they're just about giving God orders. But that's not appropriate, my friend. You and I go to God as beggars at a door of mercy. We are encouraged in God's word to come boldly to the throne of grace. We're not going to a weak God. We're not going to a God who does not want us to pray. We're not going to a God who is disinterested in our concerns. We can go boldly to him, but we yet go boldly as beggars. You understand, we're bold beggars at the throne of grace if we go as we ought to go.
Amen.
All right, God is able. Paul writes in the New Testament that God is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto him. Now, who comes unto him? No man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him.
Amen.
But the Bible never says God can't draw unless. You understand? We can't come unless God draws, but God can draw. God can draw. All power is given me. Questions, as far as I'm concerned, resolves itself is, to God will it? That's what we want to know. Brother David has addressed the most fundamental issue of that question. Behold, what manner of love God hath bestowed, the Father hath bestowed upon us. Bestowed upon us. You can have the word manner. Let me have the word bestowed a minute. God didn't just have that love for you. God didn't have just have that love to you. God doesn't just love you in the abstract. God has bestowed upon you something. God has caused that to settle upon you, to bear upon you, to come to you, even to invade your very being. You understand? Sometimes in our conversation with each other, we talk about our private space. In a man's dealing with God, the concept of private space does not exist. God comes to you and not only invades your whatever personal space you may think you have, God comes into your very being, my friend.
Yeah.
And he doesn't wait till you're willing. I tell you what he does do. He makes you willing. Oh, he makes you willing. Isaiah says in chapter 54, I'm almost afraid to give a chapter number in Isaiah. I think this is in 54. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Our willingness to be saved comes from God saving us.
Amen.
It's not in order that God save us, but God makes us willing when he manifests his power in us. Now, but Paul, in that beautiful expression in the end of Romans 8, said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Paul didn't want to believe this, you understand? You don't have to persuade Brother David, he's smart. He wants to believe it. You just hit around a little bit and he'll bite that one. He'll latch right on. He already told us. He's been thinking about it. You don't have to persuade a man of what he wants to believe. But Paul never believed this when he was Saul of Tarsus.
What a week in our hands.
Saul didn't want to believe this. But God persuaded him.
Amen.
It wasn't the law of Moses that persuaded him.
Amen.
It wasn't the Pharisee that persuaded him.
Amen.
It wasn't Gamaliel that persuaded him. It was God who worked in his heart, who persuaded the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Taught him what he really didn't want to believe.
Amen.
Forced him to a position he didn't want to occupy. Have you ever come to the point that you had to believe what you didn't want to believe?
Yes.
My friend, there are things in this world I've been forced to believe I never wanted to believe.
Yeah.
But I tell you something, the Apostle Paul here is forced to believe what he never wanted to believe, but he rejoices eternally now that he does believe it in the fact that it's true. I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't want to pick on anybody this morning, but I hear folks say sometimes, sinner, you better get saved before it's too late. That idea is if you die before you're saved, you'll miss your chance, you'll miss your opportunity. And if that's what happens, my friend, death separates somebody from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I don't believe the time of our death can separate us from the love of God. It may seem untimely to us, and it does. Brother David and I were in a funeral not many weeks ago of a young man who was murdered brutally in a terrible situation. It was untimely to us. It hurt us. Our loss was great. But God, my friend, was not thwarted in his purpose by the untimeliness of that event. The assassin's bullet did not prevent God doing what God had purposed to do before the foundation of the world. And it was that principle that allowed us to speak a few words of comfort to that precious family and try to tell them that while your day is dark, there's a better day ahead. Do you not understand that our dying cannot thwart the purpose of God? Neither death nor life. I want to tell you something else. You can't live too long. We got some friends in this world who believe you can be saved today and die tomorrow. You can be saved today and lost tomorrow. They believe you can have a baby that's saved because he's pure and holy and not a sinner. But if he lives to about 12 years old, he'll lose his salvation. And if he doesn't do something, he'll go to hell because of his sins. If that's the case, he just lived too long. He was safe and he lived till he died. He was saved and he lived till he was lost. So life would separate him from the love of God, which is in Christ. My friend, that doctrine won't stand. We cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, by living. Neither death nor life. And I want to tell you something else. Those folks in Washington, D.C. may make a mess of things in this world, but they can't separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There are principalities, there are powers in this world that would prevent you hearing the gospel, but they can't separate you from the love of God. I tell you, the love of God is ours. God hath bestowed it upon us. He's in charge of that operation. He's done his work and he will do his work in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. I want us to consider that love, but I want you to remember as you consider the manner of love that it is a love God hath bestowed upon us.
Amen.
Now, that love didn't ever do anything for you. It didn't bestow anything. I'm going to make it. Brother David told me, Brother Chris told me not to worry too much about the clock. He didn't say how much is too much. I think I'm talking to the choir anyway. Let me just go to Isaiah 46. I don't want to get this far from home and not quote Isaiah 46 once. The Lord said, I will do all my pleasure.
That's right.
I will do all my pleasure. He never said James Isaacs will do all my pleasure. And I have, and I don't.
Yeah.
He never said the Primitive Baptist will do all my pleasure.
Yeah.
We don't. But he said, I will do it.
Amen. That's right.
I will.
Amen.
I have purposed it. I have purposed it. I don't know how it is with you. I spent 28 years in public schools. I've heard a lot of excuses for why I did things. Children never do anything apparently on purpose if it's wrong. I've had 15, 16-year-old boys come in. I accidentally hit him in the nose and his nose is bleeding. You hit him pretty hard accidentally, didn't you? And right on target. Yeah. I've had high school boys tell me I didn't mean to use profanity. It just slipped out. Words don't slip out of our mouths. We have to push them out, son. I tell you, we have a purpose a lot of times we don't want to own up to. But when it comes to the matter of our salvation, God said, I'm doing it on purpose. Your salvation's never been a matter of an accident with God. It's not something God's left to chance. God said, I planned it that way. I intended it that way. I meant it to be that way. I have purposed it. And I shall also bring it to pass.
Amen.
I want to tell you, if God didn't save you, it's because he didn't intend to. And God's not a dummy. He didn't buy you when he didn't intend to own you.
Amen.
Do you ever do anything like that? I'm an old cow farmer, all right? I go to the sale barn. I buy a few head of cattle from time to time. I was sitting in our local sale barn one afternoon, buying a few steers. And really, I needed a few heifers, but I just hadn't seen any heifer I wanted. So I'm buying steers. And finally, a nice black heifer like I needed to finish out a set of heifers came in. And I bid on her a time or two. And that auctioneer stopped and said, you do know that's a heifer, don't you? Yes, sir. I noticed. But see, steers cost more per pound than heifers. I guess he thought I bid too high on this thing. Must think it's a steer. Been buying steers. That's all I'd been buying. He knows me well enough to know what I was buying. He'd been watching me. I mean, if you bid one time, they watch you the rest of the day. So he's watching me. I'm buying steers. And then this, you buying that thing accidentally? That's what he was saying. Well, no, I really meant to. God didn't save you accidentally. God didn't say to his son, Jesus, go down to earth and see what turns up. He had a list of names in a book that God wrote before you were created, before he formed the earth. In thy book, Jesus says, by the pen of the psalmist David, were all my members written when as yet there were none of them. But I like the next part. Which in continuance, that's in a series of steps, were fashioned. All right? Now, I rearranged that sentence a little bit to make it a little easier for you to understand. It said, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. You can't fashion what doesn't exist. All right. He wrote our names there before we existed. And now that we exist, he's fashioning us. And I want you to understand that the biggest step that occurs in your life in fashioning you is when you're born again. When you are called by God's Spirit. All right. I have purposed it. I shall also bring it to pass. Now, take that home tonight. That's a short, simple sentence. Diagram that. And find the conditional provision in it for you to carry out in order for God to do what God has said he's going to do. Just find it for me, would you? Look. Look. As Brother Harcrow says, search if you will, but you won't find it. It's not there. God said, I planned it this way. I've purposed it. That's what purpose means. I shall also bring it to pass. John chapter 5, verse 21. As the Father quickeneth whom he will, Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That's who he quickens, who he will. Let's get Romans 8 one more time. Verse 33. Who was it talked about double negatives? Somebody, Brother Philip. I didn't mean to emphasize what. This is not exactly a double negative, but it's so close that the logic Brother Philip applied to double negatives applies here, okay? He that spared not. Now, spared's not really a negative, but it's connected. There's a negative connotation there. He that spared not his own son. Have you thought about how God suffered as Christ suffered? Have you thought about how God suffers when you sin? The long suffering of God waited. I tell you, brother, we ought to think about this. Our disobedience makes God suffer. But God suffered in heaven while Jesus was upon the cross. You and I are not able to imagine what God had to deal with. In anticipation of that, in contemplation of that, in the execution of that, God suffered Jesus dying for us. But he did not spare. He did not spare. How shall he that spared not his own son with him not also freely? Thank God the word freely is in this passage. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's the same all things that's four verses earlier. And the fifth of those all things, the last of the list, is whom he quickened, whom he justified, them he also glorified. How shall he not with him also freely glorify us?
Amen.
For whom Jesus died. If he died for us, God will glorify us. Now, Brother David's preached twice. He's pointed us to heaven, the glory of heaven, both times. If you forgot it, are y'all recording this? Get a tape and listen to that again. I don't have time to deal with the glorification right now. Brother David's handled it well. Think about what heaven must be.
Yeah.
Now, look, I live in a beautiful part of the country. God's blessed me to live on a hill that has one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen anywhere in the world. I'm not being... You brethren who've been to my house, I'm just telling you how it is. I have cattle in a broad creek valley in the mountains of western Arkansas. It's peaceful, it's beautiful, it's quiet. I love it. But if you think God left me a home in the most beautiful place in the world and he's living in a shack, there's something wrong with your logic. All right? Heaven, I just have to believe, is better than anything on this earth. Some hillbilly wrote a song one time and said, if heaven's not a lot like Texas, I don't want to go. Thank God he's wrong. All right. Heaven is the throne room of God. The epitome of all that is good. The height of all that is beautiful. the splendor of all that we could imagine or hope for. And when we behold His face, and we behold His throne room, everything that I want that I don't have will be forgotten.
Yeah. Amen.
Never to be remembered anymore, and I'll be satisfied.
Amen.
Right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm just wishing seats on American Airlines were 4 inches wider and 4 inches farther apart. I believe I'd be so much happier the rest of this day if that were the case. I have been dreading that ever since I got up this morning. Spending that 2.5 hours all squeezed together like sardines in that little flying box. How silly of me that I would complain about 2 hours of close connection with another human in order to be in a meeting like this.
Amen.
So far from where I live that my grandfather, who preached for 68 years among the old Baptists, never thought about being able to come to this area.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really. He started out walking to his appointments. He told me a story that once he walked 15 miles to catch a train and rode the train about 20 miles and walked another 6 miles to serve a church. And finally somebody said, "Brother Isaacs, ride your mule to the train station and you can leave it in my barn." He said, "I had it made." And I murmur about an airplane ride. But in heaven, my granddad's going to have just what I have. Every comfort, every convenience, everything that we could imagine. I don't know what we're going to want. I don't know what's going to be there. I don't care. We're going to be satisfied.
Amen.
Nobody will ever come to you in heaven and make your situation any better. And nobody's going to have it any better than you have it in heaven. Nobody's ever going to have a better situation in heaven than you have. And nobody's ever going to complain about their ailments, and you're not going to have to listen to whiners in heaven. What? But Jesus will be there. The brightness of His glory. I'm telling you, this earth's not the brightness of God's glory. Even the church is not the brightness of His glory. It's Jesus. We're going to see Him as He is. What a day, what a day. I thank you.